Well, border communities in New South Wales and Victoria are understandably on edge ahead of the closure. Let's head to one of them now. Ali Cupper is the independent member for Mildura in the Victorian Parliament. We spoke a short time ago.
The feeling is shock and bewilderment. So we were not expecting this, particularly given that no details about the permit system are being provided.
And I'll ask you about that in a moment, but you say there's shock and bewilderment. For people who don't know your region, why is that? Why is it so important that people can freely cross the border in your area?
So this is the best way I can try and explain it to people who aren't from here, and particularly those in a metro area. It is like putting a border down Bourke Street, or an equivalent, you know, King William Street in Adelaide. It is going to create all sorts of disconnection, a huge amount of stress, an enormous amount of inconvenience. It in fact, couldn't be much worse than this from a logistical point of view. And it is particularly frustrating for us because as a border city, right up the top, the very top of Victoria in the desert there, we are the furthest from Melbourne. So it takes us 6.5 to 7 hours to drive there. We are a long way away from the nearest hotspot, yet we are going to be the most heavily impacted. So we are very, very frustrated by this.
Yeah, because when people outside Victoria think about the situation, some of us, and I admit myself included, we think of Albury-Wodonga. But can you elaborate on that? I mean, what particular challenges does this border closure present to your community? What's the cross-border dynamic there, if you like?
Yeah, okay. Well, the first thing for both sides of the river where we are, Adelaide is our nearest capital city, right? So that's how isolated we are from our respective capital cities, being Sydney and Melbourne, that a capital city in a whole other state is actually closer. So that means a couple of things. Number one, for us, it means that we are relatively well shielded from this, from the Melbourne hotspots. That's one factor. The other factor for those on the other side of the river is they are very much isolated from their services in Sydney, and we're talking about relatively vulnerable populations. So a historical legacy of colonisation is that we have a fairly large mission, Aboriginal mission, that was on the other side of the river with a highly vulnerable population that is very dependent on Mildura. Restricted access is going to apply to those very vulnerable people. The other thing is that 40% of the workforce for Mildura's CBD live over the river. So as I mentioned before about that analogy of Bourke Street, this is going to create all manner of chaos. The thing that is most frustrating, I think, is that in Premier Berejiklian's press conferences, she has actually said that this has been something they've been considering for some time. If that's the case, why was there not an exemption, blanket exemption by postcode, ready to go, or at least tell us that it's not? Give us some certainty. At the moment, this has been the worst part of this. It's the absolute information vacuum. There can be no excuse for that, and it is causing all sorts of undue distress.
We are being told, though, that people will be able to cross, that a permit system is in the works, as you say. Are you saying that's not enough?
Well, I'm saying that for people right on the border, I don't think we should have to apply for a permit. I think that what we should be able to do when we get to this new checkpoint Charlie on the river, if we live, because both sides of the border are low-risk areas for COVID, we have not had a case since April, that all you should have to do is show your licence and your address, and if it is right on the border, then you can just cross. I think that's really important. A permit system where people have to stuff around and apply is going to be very difficult, especially for certain populations. As I mentioned, we've got a very vulnerable population, but also we've got a place like Robinvale, which is further up the river, where we've got a huge numbers of non-English speaking people who are going to have all sorts of trouble dealing with this bureaucracy now that is obviously certainly not in its advanced stages, given that I heard in the press conference this morning that they don't even know if there's going to be a permit system available and ready to go by tonight. So we are feeling increasingly frustrated that here we are, we're the furthest from Melbourne, but we are going to be the most highly impacted by this New South Wales border closure.
Do you acknowledge, though, that action does need to be taken? Because if the virus spreads, it could also be devastating to an isolated regional community like yours.
Absolutely, it could be. That's right. And but that's one of the reasons why I think at this point in time, we need to be taking a longer term view. Enough of the short termism and the scrambling, you know, every time there's a new horrifying development. I think we need to have some team somewhere working on a longer game. Now, the reality is there may not be a vaccine for this thing for a while, right? So what I think we need to start doing is we need the federal government to take a federal view of this, not in terms of states, you know, know, and arbitrary state borders, because the reality is within states and across particular state borders, we have zones of very low risk. Why shut those economies down and at the same time leave them vulnerable to travellers from hotspots? Let's start to provide ring fencing, essentially, or perimeter fencing, metaphorically, around those hotspots and allow those low risk areas to continue operating.
So you seem to question the action that's being taken and whether it's proportionate to the risk. Are you saying that rather than this black and white close the border scenario, it should be more nuanced than that?
Absolutely. And one of the reasons I'm saying that is because we're a long way from being out of the woods. So the hot topic was all of these people in Mildura and people across the border in South Australia were really relieved to know that there was light at the end of the tunnel, because the border would be reopening on the 20th of July. Because of the spike in Melbourne, nearly 7 hours drive away from us, of course, the decision was made by Premier Stephen Marshall to apply that indefinite closure. Now, what we respectfully put to Premier Marshall was that there were such consistently low and stable case numbers along the entire western border. That's three municipalities and three electorates. And we said, you're considering reopening to New South Wales and to the ACT. So please, could you also consider a travel bubble with the western part of Victoria on the basis that if you can make things easier for people, then make it easier.
Okay, Ali Cupper, thanks very much for speaking to The World today.
Thank you.
Ali Cupper, the independent member for Mildura.